This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 394 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. And joining me via Skype, once again from Melbourne, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Is that you, Bruce?
It is me.
Oh, sorry. I'm laying in the dark and I couldn't see you.
Why are you in the dark?
I've got a massive migraine.
Oh, ouch.
So I'm just laying here in the dark, and turn the screen brightness down. But because I turn the screen brightness down, I can hardly see you.
Right.
This video link's crap. In fact, I've set the picture of you I can see on the screen. I think you're frozen. It's just one image of you smiling with, like a white background and a white shirt on. What's going on with that? The whole thing's frozen.
That.
Good thing the audio seems to be okay, though.
How's your week been, other than your migraine?
I'm not sure this video podcast is going to work very well. just between you and me. How's my week been? It's been
7 days, right?
It was the last week of school holidays, and
right.
I'm brain dead, and just looking for it all to end and get them back to school.
What's the last week of school holidays got to do with you being brain dead?
Yeah, good point. Solid point. And so the kids were back to school today, and
right.
It's like, and then of course then you text saying you're doing a podcast. No, I'm going, why? It's Monday. Oh no, it's not, it's Thursday. The kids going back to school. They go back to school for 2 days and they got them again.
Yeah.
It's like, hang on a sec. What's the deal with that?
Yeah.
So it's been an okay week. I haven't done an awful lot of work because I've had to finish off with the kids.
Yep.
But now they're all done, I'm sort of finally getting back into work mode.
Right.
And spent the day, trying to get. My tour of Bangladesh is different from any of my other tours.
Oh, okay.
It's a little bit more work, not workshop based per se, but more visionary, more about understanding how to see an image, how to craft an image, work an image, all that sort of stuff.
Right.
So a lot more sort of about the thought process of photography is going to be discussed as we're shooting. And we're going to take time out on each location and work through the concept of shooting. And so the focus is a lot more on understanding photography rather than just going and taking a million photos.
Yeah, right.
So that said, I've decided I'm going to send every couple of days to my attendees some visualization aids. Some stuff to get them start thinking about photography. So today I spent my day going through some images and talking about relationships.
Right.
And relationships, when you're shooting people, the relationships between the subject and secondary subjects and subject matter. And so if you're taking a photo of a young boy in front of a mosque,
yep.
Basically have you worked the relationship between those two elements and to do with scale and size and context and location within the frame and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I've spent a fair bit of time putting that together today and sent out to everyone to start. Now, I would have gone to Google and type up travel images, people travel photos, find ones that really speak to them,
yeah.
And then go through this process of picking it apart, the relationship apart in the image, and how do the elements talk to each other, and how can you incorporate that into your own photography,
right.
And stuff like that. So that's sort of been mostly my day today, trying to start thinking up this, start getting your head around the visualization stuff and
nice.
Because I mean, there's so many factors involved in why you shoot what you shoot. You
have sure.
The lens choice, your relationship to where you stand with how much you zoom in, how far away backgrounds are, whether you use compression or expansion with lenses. There's so many choices.
Yeah.
That if you do it haphazardly without thinking, then there's no way you're going to have any consistency to your work.
Right.
But if you also, you can take it to such an extreme, there's so much to think about that you might not take any photos.
Yeah.
So it's trying to strike that balance between, and trying to get a little bit more intuitive, more subconsciously thinking about this stuff rather than consciously thinking about it. So you do stuff faster because it's automated.
Yeah.
So that's sort of been I've been trying to get people's brains pre-wired for the stuff I'll be testing them with when we're traveling.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's sort of been all I've done photographically this week. But maybe that strain can be this migraine. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But
right.
This thing can be serious for more than 14.3 seconds. Has caused something misfire in the head.
Yeah, right.
Popped a gasket or something. blown a seal, as they say in the classics.
Yeah, exactly.
And how's your week been? Has it been eventful, uneventful?
Having issues with a rental property.
All right.
which is just doing my head in. Yeah, it's been it got trashed by The Last Tenant right before Christmas, and it's been vacant for almost close on 2 months now, which is hurting. Which is not what you need when you're down to a single income family.
Yeah, when you're only one of you. Yeah.
So
I would have thought the rental. I mean, isn't because everything up there, I would have thought would be fairly quickly snapped up.
Mate, we've owned this place for 7 years and we've never had it vacant. But having said that, we've never had it trashed either.
Yeah.
And when I say trashed, I went down there just before Christmas. There were holes in almost every internal wall panel. There were stains all over the carpet in just about every room. One room looked like a burn mark on the carpet.
How do people do this?
Look, here's the interesting thing. The tenant who'd been there had been there for 3 years, and she had been an absolutely stellar tenant. And my guess is that in the last few months of her tenancy there, she might have hooked up, because I know she was a single mum, and I think she might have hooked up with a dodgy guy. And he's done the damage, and she ended up doing a runner, didn't hand the keys back, so we had to have all the locks changed. The front door and one of the internal doors both had holes kicked in them. One of the windows was smashed. Like, the whole place was just wrecked. Man. I had to go down and paint the place myself just after Christmas. We ended up having to just call it quits on the carpet and actually have new carpet laid down, which was done just this week.
So it hasn't even been able to rent it because it needs so much work done to get
that's
it.
That's the thing, you know. I was trying to get it re-rented with the carpet as it was, but everyone who looked at it basically said, nah, the carpet's awful.
Those crack whores are coming back.
Yeah.
Why hasn't the police murder squad cleaned up the mess properly?
Yeah, exactly. So I had to go back down there today because the new carpet got laid earlier this week, and the carpet company who did the job didn't bother vacuuming after they'd done it. So there's just like little bits of offcuts and straggly hairs of carpet lying everywhere. So
quality work.
Had to go down there and vacuum the place today. So
a woman's work is never done.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Now, when I say that being that I'm the man who does all the vacuuming, the cleaning, the housekeeping, the cooking, the grocery shopping, everything in this family.
Hey, that's me in this family too.
It is.
Tegan, who I shot with a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, the beach photos we were talking about last week.
Yes. Asked me if I was interested in doing a recreation shoot.
A reshoot because they weren't good.
No. A recreation shoot of a shoot that she'd seen elsewhere on the web and really liked
more
the
this,
look
more
of.
This all this copying other people's work. I hate this stuff on the internet all the time. Oh, here's a lookbook I want to work at. No, it's like you're copying, stealing other people's images.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a bunch of photos I stole off the internet. I want to make photos look like that.
Yeah.
Here's the theme for the shoot. It's not a theme. That's a copy.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing. We're copying.
I used to do the same when I had haircuts. I used to cut a photo of a haircut magazine and stuff like that, please. New haircut. You know, the Jennifer Aniston, the whole lot, you know?
So anyway, so we're organising that for sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Shelby Riley Swisher Photography. Who is this?
That's the look. That's the look that she liked.
Really? Wow. A laundromat.
Yeah.
That's novel.
And it looks to me.
Ever been done.
Looks to me like it's all natural light.
You ever been done, dude?
Well, I've never done
it. And then with a checked shirt and a little hair thing, and to make it look like Rosie the Riveter, who just died last week, by the way. Just,
Who's Rosie the Riveter? Who's that?
Oh, come on. She's the most famous riveter on the planet. She was a woman. She was the woman who wore that little headpiece
and an
outfit exactly like this girl in the World War II posters showing women working whilst the men are off at war.
Oh, yeah.
So she was called Rosie the Riveter, a very famous lady. Right. But she died, I think, a week or two ago at the age of 90-something.
I'm not laughing about her dying, but I'm sort of laughing because I'd never heard of Rosie the Riveter.
Wow, look at this. I wanted to do something outside the box, a totally unique location. So we can't have a totally you can't have a not totally unique. I mean, totally unique is it's unique or it's not. And a laundromat.
What are you referring to? What's totally unique?
Guys, meet Shelby, one of the beautiful young ladies on my KSP model team, representing the class of 2018 for her style session, one of the exclusive KSP team perks. This is the Kyle, what her name is?
Kyle Swisher
Photography KSP team. I want to do something fun and unique.
Right.
I didn't want to be your typical outdoor senior pictures. Oh. I want to do something outside the box, a totally unique location.
Right.
So okay. Why not laundromat, right? Wow. I mean, no one's done that. It's totally unique. And now you're trying to steal this totally unique idea that's never been done before. I mean, here's the thing. It's only been done once and that you want to copy it? Oh. God.
I didn't say I wanted to copy it. I'm saying, taking through this.
Right? I just love the retro feel you get when you put a girl in a classic red lipstick and Converse, and then when you stick her in a laundromat, it's magic. Who knew? Who knew? All the people have done it before you, lady. That's who knew. I just love how these pictures turned out.
You're so inspirational, Glenn.
Share that on my Facebook page.
You're a shocker.
The day I come up with any sort of kind of unique idea, I'm going to be telling everyone about it. The day I'm not copying everyone else's work, I'll be shouting it from the roof. I've got an original idea! Everything's been done anyway, so it's kind of hard to come up with anything. Yeah. Unique, or even totally unique, or even mostly unique. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay.
So when are you doing that?
Like I said, we're planning it for sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Well, she's found a laundromat?
She has a friend who owns a laundromat, and he also mentioned another laundromat not far from his laundromat that he knows the owner of. So one of those two laundromats will probably end up being our location. But she's waiting.
So he wants you to use the other laundromat, which is the opposition's laundromat, so you take up their space so people can't use the laundromat. So
that makes money. Maybe.
Yeah, okay. I like the way he thinks. Let's spitball a few ideas as we take it so we can make it your own shoot and totally unique. Shove it inside the machine, close the door, set it on sub-cycle, and take photos through the glass as she spins around.
Excellent. I'll put a flash in a Ziploc bag with a FlashWave trigger on it. She can have that in there with her.
Colour gel.
And she can have it in there with her.
Exactly. Colour gel. change the colour of those foam suds into
pink.
Possibly easy to just put some dye in there, but still, Speaking of dyeing in this, you probably would. Because everything else we're going to talk about tonight's crap. So let's discuss this in more detail.
Right.
How are you going to make this something that's not just same old, same old? What are you going to do? What's your thought process been to say, well, how can I elevate this above the trite status that it is?
You're seriously asking me that question?
Yeah, I am. This is what you're going to have to face, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
When you come to shooting, you're going to have to show up in this location and go, well, what the hell do I do?
Yeah.
So let's spitball it.
That's something I'm not going to know until I actually see the location.
It's a friggin' laundromat, dude. It's a line of machines.
Yeah, well, I did say, having looked at the source images, I started making a list, and I thought, definitely take some spray and wipe and a cleaning rag with me.
There you go.
To make sure that all of those little windows are nice and clean and sparkly. And
that's a brilliant idea, and I wouldn't have thought of that. That's a good thing for people to think of. I'm deadly serious. That's right. Something anyone who's going to be approaching anything where they're going to be shooting maybe through windows or whatever, maybe that's a good idea, accessories to have in a kit bag or in the back of your car somewhere.
Definitely.
That's smart thinking.
Yeah.
Okay, so she sent you these images. Have you said to her, well, is the laundromat you have access to look anything even remotely like this?
I have not asked that question.
So that's a good question to ask. These are my inspiration images. And then you go to a place that's not even remotely like it. So how can you get anything close to it? And then she looks at the images and goes, oh, they're not as good as I hope they'd be. Yeah, well, the location's not remotely like the funky place that you sent. I mean, so that's a way of managing expectations too. Get them thinking about the location, so it'll manage their expectations about, well it's not going to look necessarily like these shots because it doesn't look anything like it in the venue.
Yeah, so she's waiting on some source images from the two laundromats in question.
So when you say source images, it's sort of sex offenders.
As in, the guys that own them will hopefully just snap some things on their phone and send them to her, and she can then pass them on to me. And I guess once her and I have both seen what these laundromats look like, we can then have that discussion about, well, it doesn't exactly look like the Kylie Swisher location. Are we okay with that? You know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I also put down in my list of notes that I thought, you know, if you were going for that retro kind of vibe, it would also lend itself well to having a male model as well, if you could find, you know, a guy who could do that sort of 50s greaser kind of look.
Men didn't do laundry in the 50s?
No, well, of course not. He'd be sitting there smoking a cigarette and she'd
be... He wouldn't have been there in the first place, would he? If you had the garage.
He might have been. Right? He might have been there to pick up the chicks.
So I'm serious. Contextually, if you're trying to get that retro feel, there's no way would a guy be there in those days.
Possibly.
Not at all. Not remotely. There's no way in the wide world of sports would a male have been there at that time. And all you got to do is look at some of the books from those days about how to keep your husband happy and all this sort of stuff. And I mean, the culture is so completely different than anything we can imagine.
Yeah.
And I'm deadly serious. There's no way. If you want to keep it some sort of genuine vibe of the era, would that exist?
I don't know that we're trying to do that. It's just, you know, I just thought it might lend itself to the shoot. Something else I put down was, will we be shooting during business hours? If so, how do we integrate or exclude patrons from the images?
And if you're not shooting in business hours, then it's going to be dark. Evening.
Yep.
Dark.
Yep.
Yeah. What kind of light are you going to have to deal with?
Yep. Well, I've got plenty of gels. So, you know, if it's fluoro lighting, you know, I've got green gels so I can, you know, try and match. And,
you know, it was not about the feel of the direction, the feel, the tone. The blandness of the lighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, if the lighting's all flat and lifeless, well, guess what your image is going to look like?
Yeah. Yeah. I also put down costume options. I said, you know what else would look good here? One of those classic US university jackets. You know, the kinds of jackets that...
I know, sure. They're called Letterman jackets. Yeah, I know what you...
Letterman? Yeah.
Letterman.
Yeah, jackets, right, yeah. But that's kind of changing the look of the... shoot in terms of, well, certainly in relation to the Kylie Swisher shoot, but it was just an idea that crossed my mind. Yeah, I said definitely like the idea of the retro look. Whichever hair and makeup artist we use should keep that idea in mind. And then I had the bit about the guy, and that was it. So those are things that I'd thought about so far. I mean, if you've got other things that you think are worth...
Well, I just can't wait to pull apart those images. It's just been such... I mean, it's a light at the end of the tunnel as far as I'm concerned. But speaking of flash with the gels, yeah, shoving some flashes inside the washing machines,
right.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
If you had a series of closed washing machine doors and you fired flashes with gels, so you had different coloured light coming out of each one, that could be interesting.
Yeah.
I was just trying to say, how do you mix up so it's not just the same old, same old?
Right.
If you had a panel of three, which would be kind of cool, if you had three like stacked on top of each other,
three
you'd have a red, an orange, and a green. Washing machines.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you have a red light at the top, one an orange light in the middle, one a green at the bottom. Traffic lights. Yeah. You're mixing these two weird these two weird visual things together.
Yeah.
I think throwing some colour around would certainly add some interest.
Yep.
So I look forward. You've got all this time on your hands, at least. So
yeah.
I learnt today that our good friend and friend of the program and book reviewer, Mr. Marland, has been very recently, as of today, put in the same position as yourself.
Oh no.
So, I think he said in the same situation, but nowhere near as bad as you. Because obviously, it means he's got some prospects for the future.
Right.
As opposed to yourself.
Right. Thank you.
Good luck to our mate Dave.
Hope
something going forward. He's not very young. He's got to be like 85 or something. Surely he's... Yeah, up for retirement or, whatever they do, to put him out the stud or something, I'm not sure.
Right.
But yeah, so that's a bit of news I've got today. In solace for his newly found thing, he went out and bought some new lighting equipment.
As you do.
As you should. Yeah, treat yourself. Look after yourself.
Nice.
So anyway, yeah. That's our free thinking, talking for the day.
Yeah. Tony White sent us a link.
TW,
yes, that's right. Tony Joe White, as I like to refer to him. Sent us a link on Facebook. The Zion National Park bans tripods in photo workshops. Now, I haven't had a chance to read this article, but what struck me as odd just in that headline was that they would actually even have photo workshops being conducted in the national park, because I know the US is like. It's kind of like you've got to pay to breathe just about. So
every time Dick and Larry's doing landscape workshops in all their national parks.
Right.
You go to Death Valley and the Grand Canyon. There's photo workshops being run in these places all over the shop.
Oh, okay.
So, and all sorts of other things. So, but this follow-up to the article where the bans are, it was taken out of context or something, and yes, there will be some restrictions.
Right.
But whether it's even going to be like on a case-by-case basis, I'm not sure, but it's maybe worthwhile. If you are going to Zion National Park and want to take a tripod and you are running a workshop or doing a workshop, just see if that particular one's got any issues or not.
Right.
But it's too much of an issue.
Yeah. You just drifted off mic a little bit.
Yeah, that's because I moved the mic.
Well, don't do that. Adam sent us three stories.
Oh, really?
The first of which was titled Weird Wonderful Photos from the Archives. And this was on theatlantic.com. And it really is a rather eclectic collection of images. There is no consistent theme to these other than that they are weird and wonderful.
They are.
Have you had a chance to scroll through?
I've just had me flick through them now. It's very unusual.
It's a little bit of everything. I love the, I think it's about the fifth one down, the Indian on a horse beside a US tank. And it's actually the grandson of the guy on the horse who is on top of the tank. He's signed up and joined the US Army. And so it's like grandfather and grandson, as it were, one on a real horse, one on an iron horse. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of just weird and wonderful images in this collection. They're all fairly old images, The one of the tour guide and the two women standing on the very top of the Great Pyramid at Giza struck me as being timely in the sense that you can no longer climb up onto the pyramid, where obviously that was still a thing back in the day when that image was taken. Anyway, interesting collection of images. So thank you, Adam.
Yeah, really cool set of images from the past, isn't it?
Yeah.
The construction of the Eiffel Tower is an example. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. What I thought was interesting, I didn't realise, reading the caption on that one, on the Eiffel Tower, was that it was only ever meant to be a temporary structure for the exhibition.
The Centennial Exposition, yeah.
And, they decided, nah, we'll keep it.
It was popular.
One of the great tourism decisions of all time. Reuters banned from the Olympic opening ceremony for leaking photos of the warm-up.
Well, that'll learn you, won't it?
Oh, yeah. Imagine the guy that was contracted to Reuters and who was responsible for leaking the images. Like, that guy's never going to work again. Well, not as a photographer.
Well, whose responsibility is it? Is it the photographer or the agency who publishes it?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know how the images got leaked. Whether it was,
well, it doesn't matter if they're leaked. I mean, it could have been legitimately allowed to be there photographing it, but under an NDA not to disclose it.
Yeah.
And then he sends it off to head office because that's where they keep the images, and some body, not knowing the scenario behind it, goes and puts it out. There's the story, the way these things run on a vapors these days, as far as staffing is concerned. That sort of stuff you can imagine could happen. So it might not be the photographer's fault at all, is what I'm saying.
That's a good point. The second paragraph does say, and Reuters violated them by publishing the photos without permission. So so maybe it was actually Reuters who was responsible, not the photographer in question.
Yeah.
In which case, Reuters is going to lose a serious amount of income. I would imagine.
That's only the opening ceremony. It's only the Winter Olympics.
Only the opening ceremony?
Of the Winter Olympics.
Oh, yeah, I know. But, hey, dude, it's still the Winter Olympics. Yeah, I know. But
it's like losing the photographic rights for the badminton at the Commonwealth Games.
I don't think it's quite down that low on the scale somehow.
But I'm thinking maybe they're going, we made $14 after we paid all our staff's wages, so we're doing that.
I love you reaching for an analogy, but I'm not sure that that's quite on the money.
You email them and ask them and say, look, what would you rather say? Opening ceremony of the Winter Olympics or badminton the Commonwealth Games? Because remember, I suppose it is called badminton for a reason.
Yeah. Oh, you're just plain nasty. And the third one was from DIYphotography.net. The fragile Lake Wanaka tree could be destroyed because of tourists' Instagram photos. I feel like every photo you take pops up every six months. It takes
a little bit of the energy away from the tree.
Right.
And the tree dies just a little bit. Every photo taken of that tree.
Every crappy photo, the tree just dies a little bit inside.
Every time that hashtag of that Wanaka tree, its soul just crushed that little bit more.
It is sad that people, you know... I guess every person who goes there and climbs on the tree to have their selfie thinks, I'm just one person, I'm not doing any damage. But it's the cumulative effect of every other numbnut who's doing the same thing that's causing the problem.
I forcibly made my point multiple times. That's probably the best way to, not like me, I know, but I thought I'd change my personality once and become a bit contentious on Instagram with my Myanmar tourism.
Right.
So Myanmar tourism was re-Instagramming people's photos around Myanmar, which is fair enough. That's their job, to try and get people going there. But what they were doing, they were posting up lots of disrespectful images of people standing in, like in Bagan, up on the temples and in really precarious spots on really fragile brickwork.
Yeah.
On 2,000-year-old temples.
Yeah. Right.
So people standing, and they're posting these photos of people doing completely the right. Oh, come on, so what are you promoting here? Yeah, I mean, I've seen tourists damage temples in Myanmar. Yeah, I've seen brickwork falling off them because people stand in the wrong spot. And these things won't be around. I mean, poor Mr. Wanaka tree, but at the end of the day, it's a bloody tree. People go to the pyramids and scrape their names into the brickwork to say, I was there, and all the other disrespectful stuff that people do to things that can't be replaced have serious... history for our race.
Yep.
I think is far more significant. So, but I've never seen I've seen the same thing about the Wanaka tree on multiple sites.
Yeah.
I haven't seen one of them bemoaning. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They did the national parks in the US last year with people stepping on the salt plains and the volcanic mud areas in whatever national park it was. Yeah, so that's it. Yeah,
right.
But these people do stupid stuff everywhere.
Yeah,
it's time to have an awareness for every person who takes photos, not just talking about photographers. That is this crappy selfie worth destroying? Yeah, 5,000 years of heritage for.
Yeah, it's like that beautiful bridge that's in Germany or Romania or somewhere, the one that the reflection makes a perfect circle.
Germania.
And you're not allowed to, you're not allowed on top of the bridge, and people always, walk out there and have their photo taken. And apparently the authorities in that region are like mega strict on that. And if they catch you taking a photograph of somebody on the bridge, they will confiscate your camera and you will not get it back.
What if you don't know the person on the bridge? You're just taking the photo.
You're guilty.
Why? Because you didn't make them walk across the bridge. You just took the photo. Hey, there was somebody on the bridge. Let's take a photo.
Apparently not.
I would tell them, maybe tell the person off on the bridge, not the person taking the photo.
Yeah.
That Wanaka tree. So it does have its own hashtag. Yes. And it's got over 20,000 images on that hashtag of that tree. So yep. It's, anyway.
Tree with a following. What do you got?
Nothing.
Yes, you have.
Have I? last week I was going to talk about the fabulous. I mean, I'm loving this new product, and you'll find last week's link to the chair tripod.
Oh, have you got that link again? Because
it's in last week.
Yeah, but I don't have it from last week.
Well, it should be directly above in the chat that we've got from now, isn't it?
Dude, you're going to make me go back to Skype? Do you know how much I hate Skype?
Aren't you in Skype right now?
Yeah, but you know how much I hate Skype?
But you're in it right now, though. There you go. I'll send it for you again. Chair tripod. So have a look. This is
your tripod that
doubles as a chair. So you can sit on your chair, take long, 2 hour long exposures. And of course, sitting on that chair is not going to wobble the tripod in any way, shape, or form. So, it's going to be a perfectly steady image. Stupidest product on the planet, or I guess if you're doing sport, it might be. If you're doing like fast moving stuff where you're doing reasonably fast shutter speeds, and you're there for a long period of time. Like if you're photographing cricket as an example, and the game goes for 5 days, maybe you can see there's a market for that. But if you're doing anything else that requires any sort of sharpness, you might find it less than useful. So I thought that was rather amusing.
Yeah. It'll only support 80 kilos, though. So it's only for very little photographers.
They need a bigger version. They need a fat boy mama size or something, Something for us, the hefty photographer. us folks pushing the 150 kilos. Right. I did see. I'm just changing positions again because just changing posies.
Oh, that's better. Now you're close.
Well, I was close before, but now I'm laying down again. Rest my weary head on the pillow. Look, the sacrifices I do for you people, and by you people, I mean Bruce.
Yeah.
I noticed this week that Canon added some new patents, which I thought were possibly interesting.
Right.
Where they've come up with fingerprint sensors for your cameras and your lenses.
Right.
So
what does that do?
Like you do with your phone. If you want to turn your phone on, you got to press your finger on the fingerprint thing, and it scans and unlocks the phone.
Right.
But it also means no one else can access it except for you.
Oh, nice.
So there's a potential, and I'm thinking, it's taking beyond that. It could also be that ID could therefore be scanned into the image, into the EXIF data.
Yeah.
So fingerprint as the evidence of who took the image.
Yeah.
There might be all sorts of future sort of copyright potential things by having this sort of scanning technology built into a camera. I mean, who knows if it'll ever come out? It could be just something they've invented and thought, we better track it just so we've got first dibs at it or something. Yeah. But I thought that was kind of interesting.
We'll create a patent so that when somebody else does it, we control them
and does it well.
Yeah,
we can
just ignore it.
Yeah.
Wait till someone does it and then sue them.
They sue them. So that's the only way we'll make money, is by suing people for using our technology. I've been trawling through Indiegogo and stuff as well, just seeing what people are doing.
Yeah.
And there was a thing, pretty much anyone who's been on Facebook with any interest in photography, I would imagine over the last sort of 6 weeks or so, probably saw the adverts for the new sort of Maggie light. It's a bit like a pixel stick, where you can do like the light painting with patterns. Oh, okay. And,
right.
I don't know if you saw that or not, but that was sort of everywhere.
Okay.
Well, that started the other day. They wanted $30,000 was their goal.
Yeah.
And they've been going 14 days of their 30 days, and they're already at 1,067% of their goal.
Wow. $320,000 raised.
$30,000 for, and things, I haven't really looked into it in any sort of in-depth detail.
Right.
But there was this thing called a pixel stick, and it was it came out. It was also through a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo a couple of years ago, and it seems to be a very, very similar product. So I'm not sure what's different about this and why. So maybe people who've got an interest in photography and light painting could maybe look into this with some depth and say, well, this is what's different. And maybe someone with no life and no time and lots of time on their hands. So I was thinking Adam Davidson.
Right.
I was inviting you or David Marlin at all. But if the three of you want to get together, maybe all three of you could do an investigative review of it.
Right. Okay.
So we come out with there. Yeah, there's a challenge for the week before we go. What I did like, and I think this is actually already available because it's saying shipping 3 to 5 days.
Right.
Was a $79 lens for your camera.
Right.
But it's called the Pinhole Pro, and it's a multi-aperture pinhole camera lens.
A multi-aperture. Okay.
So it changes the size of the hole in the pinhole.
Right. Okay.
I thought it was pretty nifty. I thought if you're like experimenting in sort of lo-fi type imagery.
Yep.
But not being limited to, like, most pinhole cameras, you've got one aperture, one amount of hole light coming to one hole.
Yeah.
This is a kind of an inexpensive way of having some fun.
Yeah, right.
And I was almost tempted to order one myself, and I slapped myself and said, don't be an idiot. But I think it could be a bit of fun to play with, and if the people who aren't listening there were listening, could send you one, that's awesome.
Right.
That'd be fabulous. Then, what did I put down here? There's something else. I put my own headings there, and then I don't realize what the heading is.
Right.
So there can be only one is the heading.
So universal lens cap.
Lens. I thought this was pretty cool, a universal lens cap.
Right.
So it's one lens cap to fit all lens sizes.
Well, that is just sensible.
Isn't it, though? You know, it's one size fits all.
And another and completely underachieving Indiegogo campaign that has reached 7,150% of its goal.
It's not bad, is it?
Wow. $193,000. What were they after? What was their goal?
Basically,
it must have only been about $10,000 or something.
Yeah, and but I thought that was a really cool little product, and I like the fact that it sort of protects your lens a bit too, because it pulls down, depending on the size of the lens you're using it for, of course.
Sure.
It may pull a fair way down the body and give your body, your lens a bit of protection as well.
Yeah, right. So it just looks like it's flexible rubber. You basically just stretch it over the top of your lens. Nice. Very nice.
Think of this piece. Who needs a drone? Oh, God. Look at check out this next thing.
Is this birdie? So
this is an accessory for a GoPro camera.
Right.
I think it's an expired Indiegogo project, but I'm not sure it was funded. But basically, it's like a little parachute kind of thing. You attach... No, they got 178% funded.
Right.
Basically, you attach your GoPro to this thing. You throw it up in the air as high as you can, and it sort of floats down over the top of you, filming down towards the ground.
Right.
And that's your drone. That's your drone
footage.
Of this thing falling back to Earth.
Okay.
This thing raised $36,000. I was like, oh, my wordy lordy.
Now, I'm looking down the list of images at the bottom, and there's one that's shot on a desert somewhere with this round lake. And I'm thinking, I can see the person who's going to throw it up in the air and it's going to come down in the lake.
Yeah.
And that lake is going to be like, you know, acidic water or something.
Well, it's a GoPro, so it's waterproof.
Yeah, but, you know.
Maybe not so good for the
It might be, you know, 100 degree thermal, you know, water or something, and then you can't go in there and get it.
and the last thing, and I was really quite sad that this one, it's kind of the opposite. It only got 6 backers.
Oh.
And it only raised $90.
Right.
Replacing this guy's GoPro camera so he can shoot corgi videos.
What?
Videos of his corgis, his dogs. So his name's Luis Hernandez. I'm the creator of the blog socialcorgi.com.
SoCal. As in Southern California.
I think Social Corgi would have been better. Yeah. Okay, SoCal Corgi, even less interesting. Yeah. I have one corgi named Desi, and we try to attend as many corgi dog-related events as possible. And we originally brought a GoPro to make videos of all the corgi dog events that we attend. It took us a while to save for the GoPro, and now we have no way to document and share pictures and videos of the events we go to. Events we go to are the Corgi Beach Day every 3 months. It is held in the Huntington Dog Beach. The past Corgi Beach Day, there were over 300 corgis in attendance.
That's just sad.
SoCal Corgi Picnic held in September, hence the funds needed by that day or two before. So we need about $600 to replace the GoPro and an SD card that was stolen. so we can share more videos and pictures of Corgi events.
But Glenn, you're missing the potential here, mate. $1 thank you. Everyone that donates $1 will get a thank you shout out on our Facebook and our blog.
I know, and they were hoping that they were going to go to the Corgi camping trip next year so they could share that event as well. Now, why the Queen didn't get on board this? Why the Queen's advisors, Corgi mad that she is, didn't get on board and say, hang on, back this to help Queenie Pie. Not only will you get to see all these great Corgi SoCal videos and possibly camping trips, they'll say g'day to you on their blog. And, you know, Queen is kind of validated until SoCal says g'day.
Oh, that's so tragic.
Surprisingly and somewhat bitterly, I should go look at their page and see if they're still doing, because this is like 2016. So it's like So here we go. Oh, no, the page is no longer available. It's been moved.
Oh, no. Devastated.
Are there SoCal Corgis R Us? What is it? I go to Southern California a lot. I don't think I've ever seen a Corgi.
You know why? Because they're all at the beach and you weren't at the beach.
Oh, these are behind the cage, these ones. And, there's one. Look at that. God. Well, it hasn't been updated since July 24, 26. So,
well, I'm gutted that he didn't reach his goal.
You're going to get $90 to $600. It was 15%, which is still possibly higher than I would have expected he got to.
Yes.
He may have put his mum to put that in just as it didn't look quite so empty.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's it for me for the week. It's been a riveting week of photo news.
It certainly has.
Yeah, I heard you released a camera.
Was it any good?
I don't know. I didn't look.
Right. Was there really nothing at CES of any interest at all?
Nothing at all.
Really?
Some new drones.
Right.
But nothing for hardcore photo nerds, really, Nothing that's going
to... Is it a case that the technology itself is just saturated? Like, there is nothing...
They were showing TVs there, Bruce.
Yeah, I know, but, like, from a photographic point of view, like, is the photography technology just so... all-encompassing now that there's nothing new to put out right now?
I'm thinking there's pretty much no representation anyway.
Oh, okay.
So the way I kind of think of it is it's a consumer electronic show, CES. Yes. CES. And for a while, photography, when it was transitioning to digital from film and really started to gain great volume of business, and all the consumer electronics stores, like your big box stores, started stocking this stuff, there became a connection between photography and consumer electronics, because these stores who were doing the mass volume sales were selling these products. So it made sense to maybe to be at the show and showcasing the stuff to people from these companies.
Yeah.
But the reality is photo is no longer a big box-moving product. And, the link between photography and consumer electronics is diminishing, so there's probably just no need. Whereas the Photokina show in Cologne, Germany, has gone from a biannual show to an annual show.
There may be
some, holding off more the more interesting stuff to something that's more photocentric.
So how is it that Germany or Photokina as an organization has managed to increase enthusiasm for the medium and or the business to the degree where they can double the frequency of that trade show when everything else we see on the planet is a reduction in number of stores, number of shows, number of exhibitors, blah, blah, blah?
Who's to say that they are doing it to be more successful? Maybe it's the fact that, hey, if we're only every 2 years, we're losing relevance because no one's hearing about us for a year and a half.
Right.
And therefore we're disappearing, and maybe we have to be maybe showing up more often to have more relevance as an organisation. Who knows? My feeling is the other way around. My feeling is as soon as I heard that we're going to do it annually, that was a desperate move,
right?
Not a wow, how successful we are move.
Right, okay, fair enough.
Some people have called me a pessimist, so it could be just my that's apparent natural tendency to look at the less favourable side of things. So my immediate feeling was, well, that's possibly not a good move. So we'll see. We'll see what pans out. But yeah. Anyway,
of course, the big ask in doubling the frequency of a show like Photokina is that you're then expecting all of the exhibitors who you would expect to show up to dip into their pocket twice as often. You yourself would know how expensive it is to put floor space together on a trade show floor.
It's not necessarily a bad thing. Because, I mean, first, they're not doing all the global shows. A lot of the big shows around the world don't exist anymore, so they're not putting the money in there.
No, but you're talking about Cologne, right?
And it's going to be cheaper to build a stand that's going to be maybe modular that you can use over multiple years,
right?
And just keep it in one spot. So actually, the most expensive thing is the stand itself,
right?
And they spend so much. The floor space is expensive, yes, but floor space plus building a stand plus transporting the stand and then staffing the stand, that's a lot of. But if you build it once and you can leave it in situ or you know, in storage nearby where you're not transporting any great distances,
right,
there's economies and you know, you're not spending big money anywhere else around the world. So that's your one big show per year.
Yeah,
yeah, it's possible that it's more viable.
But then there's all the advertising that you've got to spend money on as a lead up to that event as well.
Yeah, but they're doing that anyway. Every major brand will be doing that anyway, and you're tapping into a global marketing monies as opposed to regional marketing money.
Sure.
So Canada, Australia, for example, probably doesn't have an awful lot of spending money on marketing. They've got a limited budget, but when you're talking about Canon Japan for their entire world budget,
yeah,
is a different matter altogether. If they can put a fair portion of that towards marketing Photokina, then there'll be plenty of visual notice. And once again, if there's only that one area to focus where people will be paying attention, there'll be a lot of free media anyway. Every blogger, every website, they're all going to be there doing the spruiking for them anyway. So.
Yeah, true.
I think there's it's interesting. It's a space to watch, I reckon, to see if they can ramp up enough interesting products per year.
Mm.
Yeah, they used to, because as you said, when things were transitioning, everything was changing very quickly. But now that's slowed down significantly. Yeah, like Canon with their pro bodies, they're only releasing them once every 5 or 6 years.
Yeah,
so that's six shows without showing a new pro body.
Yeah.
Six shows without showing a new high-end prosumer, professional body, like a 5D or whatever it is. So that's a long gap. And all the releasing, therefore, is the lower end, same old, same old.
Yep.
It's where the interest is going to be. So I think it'll be very interesting to watch.
Mm, okay. Beautiful.
Who knows? We'll see.
Alrighty. So that's it for this week.
That's killed people's another hour for people for their week.
It does.
Yeah. we've taken them away worrying about
40 minutes once I cut out all your drivel. Yeah,
what? Jeez, I'm down to 6 minutes, wouldn't it be, if that was the case? do you cut stuff out that I say?
Yes.
Do you really? Do you?
Yes. You'll have to listen to find out which bits.
I'm going
to
do that. But surely the general preamble and waffling is part of the charm.
Oh, definitely.
So, a la all this bit we're talking about now, I thought what made the podcast good,
right?
Not the rest of it.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have an off cut. Maybe you should have like a Bruce edition and the Glenn edition. See which one gets listened to more. Yeah, one with all the waffling, one with less waffle. Our listeners should put up on Facebook if they want the explicated version, the Bruce version. Or the full on, the full waffle version. Right.
Mine would be the laugh track, wouldn't it?
Waffle expurgated. There's the challenge. Please post on Facebook. More than one comment, I'll be amazed.
Yeah. All right, mate. All right. Will you have a good week?
you too. And,
and you're here next week?
I'm here the next week. The week after might be a bit sketchy.
Right.
Just depends on where I'm up to getting everything organised for travel. But yeah. we might record a little bit earlier in the week just to get something done.
Yep.
Yeah, so I should get at least... Unfortunately, we should probably get at least another two episodes in before I go.
Excellent. All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.
See you, mate. Bye.
ShutterZinkPodcast.com.
AnotherAudioToYou.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZinkPodcast.com.